We're holding on for Vav Amud Aleph, the top line. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Amar Ein Chayv Ela Ala Osiv Lavo. Rabbi Shmuel had said that unlike Rabbi Akiva had told us, where Rabbi Akiva being the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, that a person is Chayv a Korban when he made a Shavua, when he made a Shavua that's false in one of four ways, Lahabo or Lashaovar, for good or to do something or to not do something, or I did do something or I didn't do something, or somebody else did or didn't do something. Well, somebody else did or didn't do something, that was a whole machlokas whether such a shavua is effective, whether it triggers a korban, if it's not true, because you can't necessarily make a shavua for the future that this person will or won't. But in any case, the point is, we said that there is such a thing as a shavua l'sha'ovar and also l'haba. Now, we have Rabbi Shmuel, Omer Ein Chayv Ela Ala Osid Lavo. Rabbi Shmuel had said in the Mishnah that for a korban, a person is chayv only if the shavua is on the future, I will do this or I won't do this, but not for the past. The machlok is strictly as far as the korban. Earlier in the parak, we talked about when it comes to malchus, Rabbi Shmuel would agree that a person is chayav malchus if he makes a shavua that I did do this, and in fact he hadn't, or vice versa, and he did have amazed it, because the fact is it was a false shavua. The machalika says over here as far as the korban. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabban, we learn in a braisa, so where does Rabbi Shmuel get his opinion, and where does Rabbi Akiva get his? The pasuk says lahorai lahetiv. The pasuk says that a person does a shavua, that a person makes a shavua to do bad or to do good. So based on that, you would know that the concept of a korban for a shavua spidui applies only if it was something that's doing bad to himself or doing good. For example, doing bad, I won't eat, or I won't eat today, or hatava, doing good, I will eat today. And how do we know that it also applies to things where there's no harav atava involved, where it's something neutral? For example, I will or I won't throw a rock into the sea. Because the pasuk says if a person makes a shavua and expresses with his lips, so there it doesn't say anything about bad or good, so it means any kind of shavua that he says that he's going to do. Now then, the braisa continues. How do we know? We only know then that means for the future, that if he says I will or I won't, so fine. Based on that ribui, then we have it means I will or I won't. Whether the will or won't is lahorai lahetiv or something neutral. L'sha'ovar minayin. How do we know the same is true of a shavua in the past? I did do this or I didn't do that. Afterwards, the pasuk continues. So it goes like this: the nefesh kisi shovel avatir b'sfasayim. A person makes a shavua and expresses with his lips lahorai lahetiv, to do bad or to do good. L'choyla sheyivatir adam b'shavua, as far as anything that a person might express with a shavua. So that expression at the end is marbe that now you have also a shavua l'shova dimer Rabbi Akiva. That's how Rabbi Akiva learns. Rabbi Shmuel says no. Lahorai lahetiv lahabba. When it says lahorai lahetiv, it means specifically for the future and not for the past. Omer lo Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, as he said in the Mishnah, im kein. By that logic, if you're going to tell me that you're limiting it only to lahabba, then you should also limit it to lahorai lahetiv. So by that logic, ein li adavarim sheyesh ben harav v'atava. Then you would only know. Then you would only know things where there's doing good or doing bad. How, according to you, would you know that it includes things that are neither harava nor hatava, such as throwing a rock into the ocean? Rabbi Shmuel tells him, like he does in the Mishnah, because you have the ribui at the end from the words v'chola sheivatir adam b'shavur. So Rabbi Akiva answers him back. Rabbi Akiva answers him back. In riba kosev lekach, riba kosev lekach. Listen, once you're saying that the Torah is adding something, it's adding something beyond lahorai lahetiv, then you should also say that it's adding something beyond shavuos about the past as well, about the future as well, and including shavuos in the past. So that last part is the same dialogue as in the Mishnah, but the Braisa is giving the background for it, how Rabbi Akiva learns his opinion and how Rabbi Shmuel learns his. Well, the Gemara says, Shapra Kamalei Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. Well, Rabbi Akiva has a very good point to Rabbi Shmuel. Why is Rabbi Shmuel including only things why is he including things that are neither Lahorai Lahetiv, but not including Shavuos on the past? And the answer is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, because it's a general machlokas in Svara between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, how to learn various phrases like that whenever you have something in the Torah like that that can be learned. We talked about this earlier in the Masechta, whether you're learning a klal, a prat, or klal, a ribui, miut, ribui. Rabbi Shmuel, who learned for many years under Rabbi Nechoni ben Akana, Shemesh, by the way, means not just that he learned by him, it means that he served him personally, like a Talmud serves his Rebbe. And in Gemara terminology, it often means also that first of all, it means obviously he learned from his Midas and whatnot, but second of all, it means from him, he learned from him the way to learn, namely he learned from him what we call in Gemara terminology Talmud or Gemara, meaning the ability to analyze Mishnayos and Braisos and derive conclusions and derive corollaries from them. You have the Mishnah and the Braisos themselves. Just give us the bare dinim, and then you have Talmud, which is also called Shimush Tamar Chachamim, to in addition learn how to learn and how to derive the sources of things in Torah and how to derive new halachas from the existing ones. All of that is included in this Shishimish that he served him and learned this from him. I think we're going to have an Enyakov today, this afternoon. We're going to have something about that. So Rabbi Shmuel, so Shemesh, so Rabbi Nechoni ben Akana, so Yedurish, so Kol HaTorah, Kol HaBeklal HaPrat. Rabbi Nechoni ben Akana's shit is that you learn throughout the whole Torah with Klal HaPrat. Well, you nami Yedurish Klal HaPrat. So then Rabbi Shmuel, in this pasuk, is also going to darish in it in the Klal HaPrat of Klal style, which in fact, of course, is one of the Yud Gimel Midos that he lists, and one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatoran addresses for him. Rabbi Akiva, Shashimish, is Nochomish Gamzu. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva learnt in the same way by Nochomish Gamzu. So Yedurish is called a Torah Kola, but Ribu Umiyat. Rabbi Nochomish Gamzu learnt the whole Torah whenever you have something like that, where Ribu and Umiyat, whenever you have something like that, something that includes includes more and then excludes, then he would learn by the Ribu Umiyat style, Iunami, Dorish Ribu Umiyat. So then Rabbi Akiva also darshens ribui and miut. The difference being, as we've learned before, that ribui, miut, ribui, basically you're including everything and you're excluding only one thing that has the least similarity to the miut mentioned in the pasuk. But other than that, the ribui would tell you to include everything. The miut tells you exclude something, but you don't know yet what. And then the ribui again tells you include back in everything and the one thing. Because you have the miut, then you're excluding the one thing that's the least similar to the prat, to the specific thing mentioned. Whereas klal the prat would say the other way around. Klal would tell you to include everything. Prat would tell you limit it only to this one specific thing. The klal again tells you, fine, we broaden the category, but it should only be things that are in the category, only things that have a strong similarity to the thing mentioned. So let's go through that. So Rabbi Shmuel is going to hold that. So Rabbi Shmuel is going to hold that we have to include only things that are similar to the Horai Lahetiv, which is about the future, whereas Rabbi Akiva is going to bring in almost everything. So that my Rabbi Akiva, the Dorish Ribuyu Miyot. What do we mean? How does Rabbi Akiva dash in the pasuk with Ribuyu Miyot? The Tanya. So we learn in another brisa. The pasuk says "Oynefesh kisi shavad riba." When it says if a person swears, that's a ribui. That would include any kind of shvur. Lahorai lahetiv miyot. The words lahorai lahetiv exclude because they mean only a shvur to do bad or to do good. Lachola sheyivate adam chozer riba. Then the pasuk continues anything that a person might express that. That comes back to include everything. Riba umiyot riba, riba hakol. So ultimately, we're bringing back, we're including everything with one exception. My riba riba komili. What are we including? We're including anything. So whether it's a shavua that for actual bad or for good, or whether it's a shavua that's neutral, and whether it's past or whether it's future. Or my miut. What is the one thing that we're being mamayet? Miut dvar mitzvah. So we're being mamayet that a person can't make a shavua on a dvar mitzvah. A person would, as we've learned before, a person would make a shavua, let's say not to eat matzah on Pesach or not to wear tefillin or whatever, then that shavua wouldn't be chal. That shvur wouldn't be mechayiv him a korban. It would be considered a shvur shav, which we've learned before. Shvur shav does not mechayiv him in a korban, only a shvur bitui, and therefore. and therefore he'd be potter from the korban, because such a thing is impossible. Rashi points out, by the same token, Rashi and Tosfos both point out, it also includes then automatically, it would include also things that where a person makes a shvur to change something that everybody knows is not so, like we've learned about yesterday, the stone pillar is really gold, for example. Tosfos points out, now everybody agrees to that last din, so therefore even if you learn by the Klal Pratzel Klal method, you still have to, you're memayat that as well. You can't make a shavua to violate a mitzvah, and you also can, and it wouldn't be considered a shavua's bitui if you did, and also a shavua to change something. Alright, so that's how Rabbi Shmuel, so that's how Rabbi Akiva learns, and therefore Rabbi Akiva is including even shavua's in the past. Rabbi Shmuel Dorish Klal Prat. Meanwhile, Rabbi Shmuel Darshan is using Klal Prat. So he goes as follows. O Nefesh Kisi Shavala Vata Vesasayim Klal. The first part of the Klal. Lahore Lahetiv Prat. Lahore Shayvata Adam Chosavakolo. Well, therefore, Klal Prat to Klal. Iyata Don Elakaina Prat. Now, unlike the Ribui Miut Ribui method, where you're including everything, because the Ribui at the end comes to tell you to include everything, and the one thing you're being Mamayat. You're being memayat only one thing because there was a miut in between with klal of prat to klal. It's the other way around. The last klal is not coming to include everything, otherwise you wouldn't have had the prat in between, but it is telling you to include more than just the one thing over there, but that has to be fairly similar to what was over there. So ma prat nefurash labba. So just like the prat is specified that it's in the future, af kol labba, the same way any shvur for Shavuos Bitui to be chayiv a korban would be labo, would be in the future. Well, therefore, the klal at the beginning and at the end, fine, that helps to include, and that helps us that includes even things where there's no harav atova, where it's neutral, ahani prata, lahaba, but that's only in the future. Ahani prata, lamorti, I feel the dvorim sheyesh ben harav atova, lashavar, the prat will the prat will come in the prat on the other hand will be memayit even when there's harav atova where it's l'sha'avar. So that's how Rabbi Shmuel arrives at his opinion that l'sha'avar it's never possible to be chayiv for korban for it because the miut is only the miut refers to only things l'haba l'horay l'haytiv and therefore you can't also bring in things that are l'sha'avar. But to include things that are not just harav atova but things that are neutral those you can bring in because of the klal. Well, the Gemara says, Epochana, well, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if you're going to be learning by a klal of prat to klal, and you're going to be saying then that you want something that's similar to Lahorai Lahetiv, and you're saying that something in the future that's neutral is similar to Lahorai Lahetiv, but something in the past that is, there's something in the past that is Lahorai Lahetiv is not included. Well, maybe the other way around. Maybe the Torah with the klal of prat to klal is telling you include anything Lahorai Lahetiv, future or past, and don't include things that are neutral. So the answer is Amar Rav Yitzchak, Dumya de Lahorai Lahetiv. Because after all, it has to be similar to Lahorai Lahetiv in the sense, Mishi Isurim Mishim Bal Yachal Dvarai. It has to be where the Isur, where the Isur to violate the Shavua is not that the Shavua was false at the time, but rather that now he has a mitzvah not to transgress his Shavua. So that applies, whether the hora, lahetiv, or neutral, in all cases, having made a shvur to do or to not do something, then he's obligated to do it and not violate his word. So the pasuk is implying, as opposed to yotzesu sheni suri mishum bal yachal dvarei ela mishum bal tashakru. So as opposed to this kind of case, the shavar where the issur is not based on bal yachal dvarei, but rather the Torah tells us lois tashakru, don't lie, and then lois tishovu b'shmi lashoker, don't swear falsely. Okay, we learned at the beginning of the parak various opinions of where exactly we learn that a shavuos bitu the shavar a person is over on and that he can be chayiv malchus. Whether we learn from lois shakru, whether we learn from lois shavu b'shmi lashoker, whether we learn from lois sisas shem hashem. So fine, here the gemara is just kind of shortening things and just using the most obvious pasuk lois shakru rather than getting into that level of detail. But the point is, in other words, that Rabbi Shmuel would say, says Rabbi Yitzchak, that there's a big difference. A shvur l'sha'avar, he has a mitzvah now to do what he said and not to violate what he said. It's rather something else. He made a shvur he made a shvur to that he did do something or he didn't do something. So therefore, so the question is that true or not? It's a whole different issue. Therefore, says Rabbi Shmuel, you can't say that the klal or prat of klal is coming to include that. But when you talk about something good versus bad versus neutral, in all those cases, you do have this in common. It's all a matter of lo yachal dvare. The Torah tells us, once you said something, don't transgress it. Well, therefore, so you can include all of those. Those can be included based on the klal or prat of klal. That's one answer. Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'oven Amar. Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'oven gives another answer. Why Rabbi Shmuel would not include a shvur l'shavar? Omar kro, because the pasuk says oy nefesh kisi shava levate bisfasayim. The pasuk is saying where he swears to express with his lips. So that teaches us that the order is significant. Misha shvur kedemes l'bitui. Only when the shvur comes before the expression. So meaning, in other words, he says a shvur that I will do such or I won't do such. So rather the bitri over here means the action of the action of what he said he will or won't do. He expressed that he will or won't do such and such. So now he actually accomplishes or doesn't accomplish that action. So it has to be the shvur comes before the bitri, before the actual action or inaction that would be the fulfillment of the shvur. Not when it was the shavar, where there the action or inaction took place before the shavar. So then the pasuk is not implying that would be included in shavuos bitri. And that's another reason why Rabbi Shmuel would say that that's not included in the category of something that is chayav that's chayav a korban. So therefore, v'loy bitri kedemes l'shvur, not when the action came before the shvur. So yotza achalti v'shaloy achalti. So therefore, that comes to exclude the cases of achalti or loy achalti shamaisa kodem l'shvur, where the action he did do this, so he didn't do that, took place before the shvur. Then that would not be included in the klal or prat of klal, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel in fact says that it is not, and that the person is not chay of a korban for that, only for shvurs in the future. So that's how Rabbi Shmuel learns it. So therefore, in our Mishnah and in the first Braisa, when Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Shmuel, well, if you're being marba one, why aren't you being marba the other? So the Mishnah and the Braisa don't go on to explain what Rabbi Shmuel answers, but the answer would be that Rabbi Shmuel is using a whole different style, a whole different methodology of extracting meaning from the pasuk, of extracting the dinim from the pasuk, and therefore he's not gonna, he may not even bother answering Rabbi Akiva, because the answer would be, listen, Rabbi Akiva, according to your shitta of riba miyot ribo, you're right. There's no reason we shouldn't include it, but that's not the shitta that I learned from my Rebbe, Rebbe Nechonya Ben Akana.
But basically he's saying, Rabbi Ishmael is saying that he's not including it because it's not possible.
Not because it's not possible, but right. Well, I mean, that's what he's saying. In other words, the klal or prat or klal method does not allow for just including everything like you're doing, Rabbi Akiva. It has to be limited to something that is very similar to the prat. So something in the future is very similar to the prat, either because, like we said, because when it comes to anything in the future is lo yachal dvare, as opposed to things in the past, is a different iser, versus because anything in the future, you have the shvur before the bitri, anything in the past, you have the bitri before the shvur, right, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel is saying that's obviously not similar to the prat, and I, who learned by klal or prat or klal, would not be able to include such things. You, Rabbi Akiva, who are learning by ribu miyot ribu, you're fine, you want to include such things, gizon dehei.
Yeah. But the Torah doesn't say that it has to be similar.
The Torah doesn't say klal prato klal or ribui miyud ribui. This is something that they learned from their respective rabbeim. But once you learn that, then it's going to result in that you're going to come out with the din this way or that way. That's the thing. That's when we talk about shimush tamid chachamim. That's what I was saying before. Part of shimush is not just the black letter halacha, but the methods of learning, the methods of, among other things, extracting meaning from the dinim, from the psukim, and from the mishnayos and the braisos and whatever, and deducing new dinim. So each one of them had a different style of learning. Each of them was mishamish, a different Talmud Chacham, and therefore learned a different Rebbe, and learned from him a different methodology of doing that.
So was it this klal uprat or ribui miyud? Yeah, was it from Moshe Mitzinai? Where does it come from?
Well, I mean, that's we have in general. We know that we can douse in the Torah in this way, because the Torah doesn't use extra words. Which one is used in any given situation? The Pashtus. I mean, when Moshe first taught the Torah to the Jewish people, he would have taught them. In this case, he used this. In that case, he used that. Or maybe a general rule. In one case, he used this. And in the other case, he used that. And you have Machlokas over it, just as you have Machlokas in many other areas of Torah. Eventually, either it's possible that to begin with, Moshe taught them that it is possible to learn it either way, or that he taught them a certain way and then it was forgotten. We know, for example, that hundreds of halachas were forgotten during the period of mourning after Moshe passed away, and therefore the Chacham had to reconstruct it. That's a general question of why do we have machloikas in the first place if everything is ish mipi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu. But that's how it is. I mean, entire books have been written on that topic. There is, by the way, a very good book in English on the subject called The Dynamics of Dispute that goes through these kinds of things and explains in detail how it is that Machlokas came about in the first place, and bringing in many different points about it from the Gemara and Rishonim and Achronim. It's definitely well worth reading. All right, let's go on.
It seems to me difficult to sustain something that... why teach two methods of reasoning that are going to bring opposite conclusions in halacha?
Well, because in some cases you apply one, in some cases we apply the other. In fact, we learned yesterday, we mentioned briefly yesterday a Tosfos that mentioned Rabbi Ezra Hanovi, which is why I mentioned it, we find what we talked about yesterday, that Rav agrees with Rabbi Akiva's Shitta, which would mean that he holds a ribui miut ribui, but we have other Gemaras where Rav holds that we do klala prata klala, klala prata klala. So therefore, Tosfos explained that Rav would say that when it comes to that other case, there's a certain miut to say that he's memayit a certain thing. So in other words, you could have that sometimes we do one, sometimes we do the other. So the possibility is that Moshe, to begin with, taught both methods, and each one is meant to be applied in different cases, and over time it got scrambled which one applies where.
We should be able to decide when we use one and when we use the other.
Well, that's what the Chachamim, so in general, we have a general shita of Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Shmuel and their respective Rabbeim about which one to apply in this case. Right, in other cases we might find that they hold differently, yeah. All right, let's go on. Next. The Pasuk says, so the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan. Here's another point that we learned from the wording of the Pasuk. Ha'odam b'shvur. The Pasuk says, a man in a shvur. Now that means, krapla onus, that means that he has to be a man, he has to be in full possession of his knowledge at the time he makes a shvur for it to be, liboy olav. Rashi says that his heart should be with him, in other words, that he knows what he's saying and that he meant to make the shvur prapla onus as opposed to an onus where he didn't know something and then he made a shvur, as we're going to say, he makes a shvur l'sha'over and he thinks that what he swore was actually true. So then that's not in the category of Shavuos Bitui, and we're not bringing a korban for it when it turns out. In other words, what we're saying is all this time, when we're saying, for example, he says, I made a shvur that I ate, and it turns out he didn't eat. It would have to be, the Braise is saying, not that if he had forgotten that he hadn't eaten and made the shvur, that would not be mechayiv him a korban, because that would be, then that's not ha'odam b'shvur, then it's considered onus. So we're going to ask later on, the Gemara is going to ask in that case, how do you have a point to Rabbi Akiva, who says you chayiv a korban for a shvur l'sha'over, then how do you have a shergig of it, and yeah, it has to be a shergig to be chayiv a korban. So we'll get back to that point in Amud Beis, but first let's deal with this point of onus. So prapla onus, so as opposed to, if he truly didn't know when he made the shvur what had or hadn't been in the past, then that wouldn't be a shvur's vitri and he wouldn't be chayiv a korban. The Malbim makes a point about it. The word Odom, you know, we have many different words for a person. Odom, Ish, etc. Odom is the highest level of them, so therefore it represents that he has full knowledge of what he's saying. Then the Braisa continues, the Nelam, when the Pasuk says that it was hidden from him, means Prapla Mezid, therefore the Torah is excluding, if he violated the Shvur B'Mezid, then he's not Chayv HaKorban. Then he would, if there was Asura, then he'd be Chayv Malkus. And the Pasuk says, Venela Mimenu, it says, from him, that means Shinis Alamenu Shavua, that means that he forgot the Shavua, and therefore he was over. Yochol Shinis Alamenu Chayfet, you would think that instead maybe it means that he forgot the object that he made the Shavua on, as we'll see examples of what, of that soon. Tamad Loimah, B'Shavua V'Ne'alam. Therefore, the Pasuk says, the word B'Shavua, and then right after that it says V'Ne'alam, he forgot. So therefore, Al Helam Shavua Hu Chayev, so he's Chayev only if he forgot the Shavua, V'Ne Chayev Al Helam Chayfetz, but he's not Chayev a Korban if he forgot the object, but remembered the Shavua, as we will see what that means, in the, as we're going to see soon in the Gemara what that means. So let's go through the braisa. When we say a man with a shvua, that means as opposed to an onus, as opposed to where he didn't know that what he's doing, what he's saying is a false shvua. So what do you mean heichidomi? What's an example of that? So the answer is kedirav kahana v'rav asi. We have example. We have the example of talmidim of rav kahana and rav asi. Ki habu kainim kamed rav. When they would stand up after having finished learning with rav, mar omar shvua. Now each one had his own way. Each way had a different. Each one had a different way of understanding what Rebbe had just taught, what Rav had just taught them. So here we have, you know, it's not just when we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, but here you even have Talmidim had learned from their Rebbe, and afterwards they each bring their own seichel into it, so they're going to understand what Rav said differently. By the way, the Rambam mentions in the Hakdamah to Pirush Mishnayos, that's to be expected. The fact that they made a Shavua, that's what we're going to say in the Gemara now, but the very fact that people are going to understand the same thing, that they heard differently, that is a natural thing. In Day and Shabbos, no two people think alike, so it's a natural thing that people are going to come to different logical conclusions. For that, the Torah set up the concept where you have levels of Bate Dinim eventually reaching up to the Sanhedrin Gdola, and you're supposed to go to them and they give a Psak Din, and that's how the Halacha is. The part of the reason why we have such a proliferation of Machlokas is because eventually that system broke down. There were times when the Sanhedrin was not able to assemble for one reason or another. Eventually the Sanhedrin as a whole became Bottle. There were times and so forth, and that's why we have, if it hadn't been for that, if we had a functioning Sanhedrin all the time, then every time there was a Machlokas, they would go through the levels of Bate Dinim, and eventually they would come to the Sanhedrin Gdola, and if the Machlokas still persisted, the Sanhedrin would vote, decide the Halacha, and that would be that. And as we learned the Sanhedrin, at that point, anybody who disagrees is a Zok and Mamre. But it would start with, though, that different people are naturally going to come to different conclusions based on what they heard and what they learned, and based on the total logic that they've learned until now. So Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi, ki habu kaimi mikamei de Rav, when they would stand up having learned from Rav, mar omar shvuosi dehochi omar Rav, one of them would say, I swear that Rav said such and such, or mar omar shvuosi dehochi omar Rav, the other one would say, shvua, that Rav said such and such, and only one of them can be correct. Ki also the kamei Rav, when they would come back to Rav to ask him to clarify this point, Omer kachad minayu, Rav would end up saying like one understanding and not the other. Omer le'idach, and the other one would say, v'ano b'shikri shtabi, does that come out then that I swore falsely and I shouldn't have done that? Omer le'i, so Rav tells him, libach onsach, this is an example of your heart was made you an onus, you thought that what you're swearing was true, you genuinely thought that I said or that I meant such and such, and therefore you're not chayev. Now Tosfos points out, it means you're not chayav a korban. Now Rav and his Talmidim lived 150, 200 years after the korban. So they're obviously not bringing a korban in real life, in their life right now. But in other words, so he's telling him he doesn't have to write down that he's going to be chayav a chattas. But in addition, Tosfos says it also means there's no oynish in it. Because, since the shvur ba'oynish, then therefore, there's no oynish, there's no punishment min hashamayim for doing that. Tosfos distinguishes there are cases where a person does have to be careful to not make a shvuas shav, but this isn't one of those cases, and therefore there's no oynish for it. The ritva goes further. Not only is there no oynish, but in fact it would actually be mutter to do. Otherwise, after all, the Gemara is implying that this happened again and again. At least Rav should be telling them, don't do that. Don't swear because you might be coming to a shvuas shav. So the Ritva says, evidently, there's no issue in it at all. So that's an example of a shvur.
Is it only for shvurs that without intent there's no korban, or it applies to something else?
Well, what we're saying is, if there was intent, if he does it mazid, there's no korban in general. There's no, most of the time, there's no korbanos for things that are mazid. We're going to have a few examples later in our Masechta where there is, but in general, a person's not chayav a korban for doing something to mazid. But we're saying yes over here, in addition, the same way as, kind of the same way as in Makkos, you know, we had the cases of a person killing the shogig, and we distinguished between onus and shogig korav lemazid, where we said in the case of onus and shogig korav lemazid, there's no ori miklot, he's potter from it altogether, and in the case of the onus, he's completely free from the goel adam, and only in the case of shogeg does he run to the ori miklat. We're making a somewhat similar distinction over here. When there's an onus, then he's potter from a korban. When there's mazid, he's also potter from a korban. When is he chayev? When it's shogeg. Now, what the definition of shogeg is in that case, we're going to, when it comes, so when it comes to a shvur lahaba, then it means, in other words, for example, that he made a shvur to do such and such, and he should have then paid attention and done it, or not done it, as the case may be, and therefore he's chayav for a korban. In the case of the past, so far, what we're saying is, based on this concept of onus, if he made a shvur, for example, that I ate, and he forgot that he truly forgot that he hadn't eaten, then he would be potter from a korban, because that would be onus. And we'll see later, then, what is the case of shogeg. So that's what Rav is telling his Talmidim, that since you genuinely thought that I said or I meant such and such, then therefore that can be considered an onus, and you would be potter from a korban, and as Tosfos says, potter from punishment, and as the Ritva says, even there's no problem making such a shvur in the first place. So that's what it means. So that's what it means, ha'odam b'shvur. Next, the Braisa continues, v'nela mimenu, we said that it was forgotten from him, that means shenis alam menu shvur, so we said that meant that he forgot the shvur, yochol shenis alam menu chefet, so we said, does that mean we would also include, maybe also if he forgot the object, what we mean by that, we're going to explain now, tamad loima, therefore the Pasuk says, v'shvur v'nela mimenu, the Pasuk meant to just say, v'nela mimenu, he forgot, v'shvur v'nela mimenu, implying, al helam shvur chayev, v'ne chayev, al helam chefet, so he's only chayev for forgetting the shvur, not forgetting the object. So what do we mean by that? So the Gemara says, "Mechaku Allah b'marava." They laughed about that in Eretz Yisrael when they heard this braisa. There must be a mistake in it. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that "Mechaku Allah b'marava" is Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina. The Gemara first brings up over there that it might be Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina, and then the Gemara says maybe not, maybe it's one of the other Chachamim. In any case, we learned about it in Sanhedrin on Yitzayin Omid Beis. The Gemara goes through over there all the different expressions that you have in Shas. So the Gemara says, first the Gemara says, Machakwa Alab Marava is Rabbi Lazar, and then the Gemara says that doesn't seem to work. It's actually Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina. In any case, so Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina laughed at this, meaning in other words, he said it's impossible that this braisa could be correct. You know what it means to forget the shvur, but it's easy enough to imagine the case where he forgets the shvur but not the object. For example, a shvur he says that I won't eat wheat bread, but he mistakenly forgets the nature of his shvur. He thinks that it's the other way around, that he thought that the shvur was to eat wheat bread. So he forgot the shvur, he forgot the polarity of the shvur, but he remembers the chayfetz, he remembers what the shvur was about. So now we would say that he's chayev, that when he eats the bread, then he is going to be chayev, the korban. But what would be the scenario of remembering the object and of forgetting the object and remembering the shvur? What would that be? Is it that he made a shvur that I won't eat wheat bread, and he mistakenly thinks that he had said a shvur not to eat barley bread? You're going to say the shvur also inchi. So that sounds like a case of he remembers the shvur but forgot the chefetz. What do you mean? Given the chefetz inchi, how could you say one? He forgot the chefetz, the object, given the chefetz in shilahu, hainu helam shvur. Well, that itself amounts to a helam shvur. Once he forgot the object, and therefore it means in effect that he forgot the shvur. So how is it possible to say that you could have a case where he remembers the shvur and forgets the object, and the pasuk is implying that he's potter from the korban because he didn't forget the shvur? That to forget the object is to forget the shvur, in effect. Ela Omer Rabbi Lazar, so rather Rabbi Lazar says, dov do achasi, this and this are the same thing, the brisa is incorrect, and there's no way to distinguish, and there's always when a person, when there's a forget, when it, either way, whether he forgot the, whether he forgot the shvur, or whether he forgot the chefetz, there's no difference, and either way, and then it's impossible to have one without the other, and therefore this cannot be a correct brisa. So that's according to Rashi. The Ran brings a possibility. The Ran discusses a couple of possibilities, and one of them is that Rabbi Elazar may mean the Braisa is correct, but it means, in other words, that in both cases, whether there was Helam Shavua or whether there was Helam Chafetz, it's the same thing as considered that he forgot the Shavua. Rabbi Elazar would say the Braisa is implying if he forgot both of them, he's Potter from the Korban, but if he forgets either one or the other, then he would be Chayev. Now the Gemara is going to go on further to say that Rava asked exactly this question. That Rava asked this question to Rav Nachman. What about if he forgot both of them? According to the Ran, the answer could have been given from the Braisa, but the Ran explains that Rava is asking according to Rav Yosef, where Rav Yosef is going to go on to say over here that no, the Braisa still cannot be correct. So then, if we say the Braisa is not correct, then Rava will have his question. Yes, if we say that Rabbi Elazar finds a way to find for the Braisa, then you could use the Braisa as the answer to Rava's question further down on the Amud. Anyway, so Maskif for Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says. Wait, I have a question on that. According to Rabbi Elazar's understanding of the Braisa, Dovah Do Achasi, that meaning it was again according to Rashi's understanding of Rabbi Elazar's statement, that Rabbi Elazar is saying the Braisa cannot be correct. So in other words, the Ran says the difference is also according to Rashi, Rabbi Elazar is saying the Braisa is incorrect. And Rabbi Yosef then would be trying to defend the Braisa. According to the Ran, it's the other way around. Rabbi Elazar was saying the Braisa is correct, but it means that only if he forgot either one or the other is he chayav a korban, but not if he forgot both of them. But Rabbi Yosef is saying that. Not that the Braisa is incorrect, but rather you have to understand the Braisa differently, and the Braisa is not addressing the case of where he forgot both, and in fact maybe he would be Potter, maybe not, and therefore Rava can ask his question later on. So Maskif Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, I have an objection to Rabbi Elazar's explanation that the Braisa is incorrect according to Rashi, or that the Braisa is addressing both cases according to the Ran. Alma, it comes out, according to Rabbi Elazar's view of the Braisa, Chafetz b'lo shvur le'mashkachaslo. You're saying that there's no way to have Helam Chafetz without having also Helam Shvur, because if he forgets, for example, that the Shvur was on wheat bread, and he thinks that it was on barley bread, then it means basically he forgot the Shvur altogether. The problem with that is, Rabbi Yosef says, why not? Ha'mashkachaslo. I can easily find a case where it works. He says, a Shvur that I won't eat wheat bread, the hoshit yodel sal little pasta odin, he reaches his hand into the bread basket to pull out a loaf of barley, knowing that he made a shavua not to eat wheat bread. He's going to go and look for wheat barley in there. But also the other shochitin. But by accident, he pulled out a loaf of wheat bread. Or kastavar sa'odim. He doesn't pay attention. He thinks what he pulled out was barley bread. But ochlan eats it, not knowing that he's over on his shavua because he thought that what he's eating is barley bread. The shvur said dechirulei, so then you have, he remembers the shvur, the cheftzahu de la yodalei. It's just he didn't know what object it was. He thought that the object was barley bread, and it turns out it's wheat bread. So therefore, you could very well have the braisa. So what are you laughing at this in Eretz Yisrael and saying the case is impossible? I can construct a case that is very possible like that. And therefore we can uphold the Braisa and say that it is correct after all. So according to Rashi, in other words, we don't have to reject the Braisa. And according to the Ran, we don't have to say that the Braisa is specifically saying that if he forgot one or the other, but not both, that he's chayiv and a korban, but he forgot both, he'd be potter. Rabbi Yosef is saying, no, the Braisa is not necessarily saying that. Omalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, Klum mechayves lekorban ela amai de tofes biyodei. Yeah, but look, you're only being mechayv him a korban for the fact that he's holding in his hand something which turns out to be wheat bread. Well, helam shvuhu. Well, the fact is, doesn't that amount to forgetting the shvuah? Because he thought that he hadn't sworn on this particular loaf of bread, and he did, because this is actually wheat bread. So therefore, so it is, So it is Helam Shavuot. So we're back to the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael's laughter and incredulity at the Breisach saying such a thing. But the fact is, it's true. There is really no way to make it work, even according to your scenario. Lishnachrina, another version of Abaya's statement. Amalei Abaya Rabbi Yosef. Sof sof korban to kamaisi. Allah dahai pas miyas. The fact is, if he's going to have to bring a korban, it's going to be over the bread that's in his hand. Helam Shavuot. And regarding that, there is a Helam Shavuot, because he thought that he hadn't sworn on this loaf of bread, and in fact that he did. So how can you call that? That's Helam Chepet without Helam Shavuot. V'Rab Yosef Amalach, so Rab Yosef will answer to you, Kiven de Kiyodalei Dchitinu, the fact is, if he had known that this was wheat bread, Porish Mine, he would stop, he would not eat it, because he knows that he made a Shavua on wheat bread, therefore Helam Chepetz, therefore says Rab Yosef, you can very well call that Helam Chepetz, because he wouldn't eat it if he knew that it was wheat bread. Okay. So therefore, so Rabbi Yosef says, no, I still maintain that the Braisa is talking about such a case. So therefore, according to Rashi, we don't have to say the Braisa is mistaken, as the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael said, and according to the Ran, we don't have to say that the Braisa is addressing implicitly the case where he forgot both. Rather, you could say the Braisa is not addressing that case. So the Gemara says, "Bomine Rava Rav Nachman." So now, Rava asked Rav Nachman, "Helam Zev Zev the Yodei Mahu." What about if he forgot both of them? So according to Rashi, the question would be, if we say the Braisa is incorrect, then we're not even bringing in the Braisa. And if we say, like Rabbi Yosef, that the Braisa is addressing a specific case, then it doesn't address this case. According to the Ran, if we say like the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, if we say like Rabbi Elazar, then the Braisa would address this case, but if we say like Rabbi Yosef, then not, and Rava would be asking his question according to Rabbi Yosef's Shita. So if he forgot both, so he forgot that he had made a shavua to not eat wheat bread. So in addition, he also didn't realize that this bread that he's holding is wheat bread. Mahu, what would be the din? So if we say, given that the Braisa was saying that he's chayav a korban only for helam shavua, not for helam chayfetz, then what would we consider over here, given that he's got both? Omalei, so Rav Nachman says, Hare Helam Shavuah B'Yodei. The fact is, he did forget the Shavuah V'Chayev, and that's a reason to be V'Chayev and Makarban. So Rava answers back, Adraba Hare Helam Chepetz B'Yodei Potter. Yeah, but on the other hand, you also have Helam Chepetz, and that should be a reason to potter him. So in other words, Rav Nachman would say, as long as you have Helam Shavuah, then we don't care what other Helam is together with it. But Rava is arguing, maybe not. Maybe it means it has to be exclusively Helam Shavuah and not Helam Chepetz. We had a similar kind of thing before. We had a similar kind of thing in the earlier in the Masechta when we were dealing with the whole question of Tumas Mifdash B'Kodshav, where we said that it has to be that he forgot, we said over there, we had the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that it's only if he forgot the Kodesh and not the Mikdash, only if he forgot the Tumah, not the Mikdash, then we're saying that he would be chayev in a korban, but if he remembered that he was Tomei and forgot the Mikdash, then Rabbi Shmuel had said that he's not chayiv in a korban. So we have the same kind of thing. The question would be Helam Zev Zev Yodei Mahu. What about if you forgot both of them? Rather the question is according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, who said that he's potter if he forgets the Mikdash and he's chayiv only if he forgets the Tumah. So what happens if he forgets both? So you have the same kind of thing. Rabbi Nachman had said, even according to them, once he forgot the Tumah, that's the important thing, and we don't care that he forgot the Mikdash as well. Where Rava is arguing that not, it should mean that maybe it's only that. Omer Ravashi Chazina. So Ravashi says, you know what? We have to look at the situation. Imachmas Shvua Kaporish. If he stays away, if he stops because of the Shvua, meaning when we tell him, wait, you made a shvua not to eat wheat bread, and he says, oh, well, then I better stop. I didn't realize I'm being over on my shvua. Well, then, Hare Helam Shvua B'Yodei V'Chayim. Then that shows, fundamentally, what he'd forgotten was the shvua. Therefore, he'd be chayim. V'imach metz chayfetz kaparish. On the other hand, if he stops because of the object, we tell him, wait, this is wheat bread, and they didn't mention the shvua. Hare Helam Chayfetz V'Yodei. Then that shows the fact that until now he was eating it, and now he stops means he didn't realize that this was wheat bread or potter, and then according to that, he would be... And then he would be potter. Now, we had pretty much the identical discussion on Daf Yom Tes in connection with Tumas Mitzvah Shvakadshev. So Tosfos had objected over there even before we get to the Gemara is going to now give us an objection of Ravina to that and say that's not necessarily dispositive because after all, what if the person had told him the other thing? We can only know what the person told him, not what he would have told him. So rather, Tosfos says. Over there, that Rav Ashi doesn't mean that we can always answer, but sometimes we can answer. We can ask him, we can ask him afterwards, you know, when you stopped, was it because you realized that you had made a shvua, or was it because you realized that this was wheat bread? And then Tosfos says it may depend which order they told him things first. In that case, whether they told him about the Tumah or the Mikdash, and then the Mikdash, or the other way around, the Mikdash and then the Tumah, and similarly over here, whether they told him the Shavua and that this is wheat bread, or the other way around, then it would go according to whichever one they told him first. So that's what Rav Ashi says. So you have that way of figuring it out. But Amale Ravina lo Rav Ashi, but Ravina says, does that really work? Klum parish mishvur elam shum chayfetz. Even when he stops because of the shvur, is only because of the object. When he says, wait a minute, I swore. Oh, but I swore on wheat bread. So therefore, he realizes this is wheat bread. So therefore, so it's helam shneim. So he forgot both of them. Klum parish mechayfetz elam shum shvur. And does he stay away from the object is only because of the shvur? Ela lo shna. So therefore, there's no distinction. And therefore, either way, and therefore it would be Helam Shneim, and therefore he should be Potter. That's the final halacha. The halacha would be therefore so he would in fact be Potter from the Korban. The Gemara says, "Bominei Rava Mir Rav Nachman." Here's another question that Rava has to Rav Nachman.
The
halacha is in this kind of case, he would be potter from the korban. In this case, where there was helam zev zev yodr, where he forgot both the shvua and the object, then we would say that he's potter. Then we would say that he's potter from the korban because in order for him to be chayav, it has to be in order for him to be chayav, it has to be that it has to be only that he forgot the shvua. So it would have to be, for example, that he forgot that he had sworn not to eat wheat bread, but not that he had not. It can't be that he all. It can't, when there's helam chayfetz, then he would be potter. And now when there's both of them. So actually, the Rambam phrases it really that the reason is actually the Rambam says he would actually be considered like an onus. So if he swore, let's say, not to eat wheat bread, so the Rambam describes if he swore not to eat wheat bread and he thought that he had said a shvur to eat wheat bread and he ate wheat bread thinking that's barley bread, then you have helam shvur and helam chayfetz. The Rambam describes he would be like an onus, and we said before that a person is potter for onus because not ha'odam b'shvur, and therefore he would be potter. When it comes to dinim of korbanos, the Rambam is the posik achron basically because we don't have the later rishonim after the Rambam don't with the later rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have dinim of korbanos. That said, though, the Ravid does disagree, and the Ravid does disagree. And says that it would be considered shogig, and therefore he should be chayev, in a korban. I guess we have a machlokas that I'm in the right on that. So what would happen in the end? Would he be chayav a korban when Mashiach comes and the Sanhedrin, as we established, they're going to have to decide like the Rambam or like the Ravid.
How can the Ravid say that it's not the onus if you forgot both?
So the Ravid would say that the fact is it would be considered a shogig because he forgot his shvur. He's not shov mi diyoseh. The truth is actually the Ravid's objection really mentions mipnei hatsar. So it might be actually that it might be it seems maybe the Ravid's objection is actually on the next din, which we're going to talk about soon. I see actually the noisa kalem on the Rambam actually are. The Kesef Mishnah in particular explained that the Ravid's objection is actually on the next din, which we're going to talk about in the Gemara. So fine, then in that case, then it would come out that in this case, where there was Helam Zev Zev Yodre, it would be Potter, and everybody would agree with that. So Bominei Rava Mir Rav Nachman. So Rava says, I have another question to Rav Nachman. Given everything we've said so far about Oynes, then how do you have a case of a shogig of Shvuos Bitu the Shavar, where he says, for example, he swore that I did eat, and in fact he didn't, or vice versa. Idi Yoda, if he knows that he had eaten, then he swears that he didn't, Mezidu, then he's amazed, and he's not bringing a carbon for that. Idila Yoda, and if he doesn't know, Onosu, then it would be an Onos, and we said already hard and Beshavua. So what is the scenario where he is going to be chayav a carbon for Shvuos? So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the question doesn't begin, because Rabbi Shmuel Taka says you don't bring a korban for the Shavah, but according to Rabbi Akiva, and the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that he is chayev for Shvuos Bitu the Shavah. Well, what's the case that he's going to be chayev for a korban? Okay, Tosfos points out that actually the question should can really be on the Mishnah later on in the next parak, where we talk about that when we start talking about Shavuos Eidos, but fine, maybe Shavuos Eidos may be different, because you even have a person bring a korban for the mazid, but Shavuos Bitu by Shavuos Bitu, where it has to be pure shogeg, then maybe it wouldn't be. Now you can also have a case where the Shavuah is also, but you have a different Gemara. The Gemara is going to now refer to a Gemara in Shabbos that discusses this point. And Rashi mentions over there, if he doesn't know that there's an Isser, then it's also considered part of Oynes. So what would be the case of Shogeg? So Rav Nachman tells him, "Ba'omer yedeani sheshvuah zu asura." Suppose the person says, "I know that this shvuah is asur, so it's also to make a false shvuah, and I'm swearing falsely." Aval in yedeim chayovin aleh korban or lab, but I don't know whether I'm chayav a korban for it or not. That would be considered enough of a shogeg that he would be chayav a korban for it. Whether that would be that he's chayiv, the Chazan Ish points out that from a Gemara later in on the Sechta, that once he's considered shogeg on the korban, we do consider him to be shogeg on the shavua itself. Therefore, even though he did it deliberately, and maybe there were edim and asra, he wouldn't be chayiv malchus. But in any case, we're saying he's not. We would say that he is chayiv a korban, but to that extent, he's considered shogeg. Well, the Gemara asks why. Kiman kimunbaz, would that be only like the opinion of Munbaz Damashigas Korban Shmoshgoga, who says exactly that a shogeg on whether he's chayiv a korban is enough to be considered a shogeg? The relevant Gemara is a sugya in Shabbos about exactly that. A person does a malacha on Shabbos, for example. He does it knowingly, but he doesn't know if he's chayiv a korban for it. Munbaz would hold that's considered shogeg. And according to the Chachamim, it would be considered mezid, and therefore he would be potter from a korban. So the Gemara has a whole discussion over there, and in Shabbos at the beginning of the seventh parak, between Munbaz and Rabbi Akiva on that subject. And one thing that emerges from the discussion is that Munbaz hold that even if the person was shogeg on, even if the person was mezid on the action, but his shogeg was only, he didn't know if he's chayv a korban, then nevertheless that's enough to be considered a shogeg. So it comes out on the face of it, what Rabbi Nachman is saying over here is only like Munbaz's opinion. And the answer is Afilu Teimer Rabbanan. No, you can say that Rabbi Nachman is saying, even according to the Chachamim, namely Rabbi Akiva in particular, who argued with Munbaz over there, Ad Kanle Pligi Rabbanan Alei De Munbaz Ela B'Chol HaTorah Kula. You know, the Chachamim are arguing with Munbaz only when it comes to other areas of the Torah, things that are Chayav Koris, the Lav Chidushu. So there's not so much a Chidush, there's a general rule that when a person does something B'Shogeg, that the Mezid would have been Chayav Koris, then B'Shogeg even has a Chathas for it. So now Shabbos and many other things are in that category. Aval Hocha the Chidush, but here by Shavuos Bitu, the whole concept of bringing a korban is a Chidush. The B'chol HaTorah Kula, by Ashkechon Lav, the Maisi korban. You usually don't find a person is over on a lav where there's no kodesh that he brings a korban for doing it b'shogeg. D'yafin and me'avodah zarah. Usually you learn everything else from avodah zarah, just like avodah zarah would be chayav kodesh b'mezid, and the pasuk says that if he does it b'shogeg, he brings a chatas. We learn from that by a binyan av that the same thing, anything else which is chayav kodesh gets a chatas if he does it b'shogeg. But that it should apply to a lab without koris is a big chiddush. V'hocha maisi. Here the Torah spells out that he brings a korban even though there's no koris. So therefore, afilu rabbanan moedu. So therefore, even the chachamim might agree that over here, if his shogeg is strictly that he didn't know he's chayav a korban, that's enough to be considered a shogeg. Tosfos discusses further details about comparing and contrasting our Gemara with the Gemara in Shabbos, and different Gersos and different explanations. So Tosfos brings up a point that maybe the Gemara might have meant that according to Munbaz, the only way to have a shogeg would be that he forgot the korban. Maybe according to the Chachamim, you could find, for example, that he doesn't know whether it's osur, whether it's osur or not. So we just talked about before that Rashi mentions over there in the Gemara and Shabbos that if he doesn't know that it's osur, then it would be considered an oinus. But Tosfos brings from the Rashbam that maybe that's not necessarily so. Maybe in fact that would be another example of shogeg, and therefore according to in other words, when the Gemara is saying according to Munbaz, it would mean according to Munbaz, the only case would be where you forgot that there's a korban involved. But according to the Chacham, you could conceivably have other examples as well. But Tosfos discusses that point and says that not necessarily. Okay. Bomine Ravina Mirava. Ravina asks Rava the following question. Nishba kikar. Suppose a person made a shvua about a loaf of bread, or mistaken a leha, and now he's endangered because of it. He has to eat it because of sakonas nefoshes, and he ate it. Mahu, what would be the din? Is he chayav a korban? I said, what do you mean? How could he be chayav a korban? Mistaken lishu lema. What do you mean? Allow it came in the first place. Pikuach nefesh is doicha most of the Torah. So if such a person were to come and ask us, I made a shvua, but can I eat this bread? We would tell him, yes, eat the bread, because otherwise it's going to be pikuach nefesh. So now, if he ate it not knowing his shvua, how can he be chayav a korban for that? What kind of a question is that? The question would be as follows. Mitzar v'ochla b'shigas shvuamai. What about if he's hungry and if he had remembered the shvua, he would have eaten it anyway because he's very hungry. But now, in fact, he ate it having forgotten the shvua, would he be chayev? Amalei, so Rava answers Tanena. Well, the answer to that is in a Braisa. Shov me di ose me the korban ashigasai, where the Braisa learns from a pasuk that only if he would have retracted and he wouldn't have done once he knows, the pasuk says, "V'ne'el amimenu," he forgot, implying that if he had remembered, he wouldn't do it. So therefore, only if the reason he's doing it is because he forgot. But if he had remembered, he wouldn't do it. So then maybe korban asher gosei, and then we bring a korban for the shogeg. Lo yishav midi yosei, maybe korban asher gosei. But if he wouldn't have done anything different, even if he knew, then he doesn't bring a korban. So now, in this case, he would have done it regardless because of his tzar. So we can't say that it's shav midiyasei, and therefore the Torah is excluding that there's no korban for it. So that's according to Rashi. Tosfos says in that case, then why mention the point of mitzar? Just say that if he ate it b'shogeg, but he would have eaten it b'mezid as well. So rather, Tosfos says that no, mitzar is that he really, really wants to forget the shvua. He's thinking to himself, I'm trying to forget the shvua so that I have an excuse to eat this bread. So fine, I'm not a rosha. I'm not going to be over on my shvua b'mezid, but I wish there was something I could do to forget this shvua so that I would be able to eat it. So now is he chayav the korban for that or not? But Rava is answering that no, since he's deliberately trying to forget, then therefore that's not considered, that he truly forgot the shvua. And therefore that he would be potter from the korban. Because the korban is only when shav midiyasei, and here it wouldn't be any different. The Rambam actually, so here's where the Rambam comes in, the Rambam that we were quoting before, where the Rambam says the Rambam has a different understanding, that it's star olav means he ate it because of the tsar, because he's hungry, but the shogeg is, he thought that he's allowed to eat it because he's hungry. So now he's going to be potter from a korban because ain't a shav midi osay, because rather the Rambam explains, he knew that it was osir, but he ate it based on a mistake, thinking that he is allowed to eat it under such circumstances. Here's the Ravid's objection that we were talking about before is referring to this case. In this case, he should be considered a shogeg, and he should in fact be chayev. He should be a classic shogeg, and he should be chayev in a korban because in that case, the Ravid would have to understand the scenario differently. So the Kesef Mishnah points out that the Ravid would basically be combining together Rashi's and the Rambam's explanation. He would be saying the shvua, the p'tur is a. The p'tur is that he actually forgot the shvua, but it's not shav midiyasei that he thought, as the Rambam says, that he would have been allowed to eat it because of the tzar. But in fact, in this case, he actually forgot. So the Ravid's objection to the Rambam points out, the Kesef Mishnah points out, is actually based on combining together the understandings of Rashi and the Rambam on the subject. Okay. Alma Shmuel. Shmuel says, here's another din as far as Shavuos. Gomer b'libra, if a person decides in his mind that he's going to make a Shavua, sorech sheyotzi b'sfasav. It's not enough that he decided in his mind, he has to express it with his mouth, he has to express it with his lips, in order for him to actually be required to do it. There are Rishonim actually who learn that even if not, the Gemara is going to learn from Pasuk over here. There are Rishonim who learn that even if he only thinks it, he might be chayev to fulfill when it comes to Hekdesh, at least he has to fulfill what he thought of. But at least that he's not chayev for violating the Shvuah if he didn't actually say it. Shenema, because the Pasuk says levate misfasayim. The Pasuk says to express with his lips. So the Gemara says Meisvi. I have a contradiction though. A Braita says Bisfasayim v'loy b'lev. The Pasuk says Bisfasayim with his lips. That means not with his mouth. That not with his heart. What about Goma b'liba minayin? But how do we know if he decided in his mind that the Shavua is going to be Chal minayin? How do we know it is Chal? Tamid loy melachol ashevata adam b'shavua. The Pasuk says anything that a person will express in a Shavua. So we see that the Braita is saying that even Goma b'liba is considered a Shavua. Well, the Gemara says, wait a minute, Gufa Kasha, you have a contradiction within the Braisa itself. Amauta b'sfasayim v'loy b'lev. First he's saying he has to express it with his lips. V'hadar amad gomer b'liba minayin. And then he's saying, but how do we know that it would work even if he only decided in his mind? So first let's understand what the Braisa means, and then we're going to understand how it's a question on Shmuel. So amad of Sheshes holei Kasha. So Rav Sheshes says, fine, that's not a question. Hochi kama, the Braisa means, b'sfasayim v'loy shagomer b'liba l'hoitzi b'sfasa v'loy hoitzi. It means, when it's b'sfasayim, means he's chayev for the Shavua, or not if he only decided in his mind that he's going to say it with his lips, but he did not actually say it. So in other words, there can be a case where a person intended for the Shavua to take effect only when he actually says it. So then, in that case, the Shavua is not chal until he actually says it. Goma b'libes stam minayin, but the Braisa would be implying, how do we know that if he intended for the Shavua to take effect based on his thought, and he decided and made a firm commitment to do or not do the Shavua, that it would be chal. Tamad loy melachol ashevata, therefore the Pasuk says, anything that he expresses, and that means even that he expresses without using his lips. So in other words, Rav Sheshes is saying there's a difference between whether he intended for the Shavua to be Chal only when he says it or not. So now, if we understand that way, Elul Shmuel Kasha, so the problem is now on Shmuel, who says that a Shavua in Machshava is completely ineffective. Now, Tosfos asks, in that case, Shmuel also we could understand that way. What's the question then? The same way as we for-end for the Braisa, we can for-end for Shmuel. And Tosca says, because we have the general rule, Amorda Yeshla the Farish Dvar of Yoser, and Amorda is expected to express himself more clearly. A Braisa can say something briefly and leave it up to the later Chachamim to understand, but the Amoroyim are expected to state clearly what they're getting at, and not for us to have to fix up and for-end for their words. Okay, so then the question is, the Braisa is implying that a Shavua in a person's mind is Chal, whereas according to Shmuel, it's not. So Rav Sheshes says, you can fix up the Braisa and explain that it means as follows. Misfasayim, when it says with the lips, means for Elosh Lagama B'liba L'hoitzi Paschidin. That would be not, for example, where he intended in his mind to say, for example, the Shavua that I won't eat wheat bread, and accidentally said V'hoitzi Pasodin, and accidentally he said Pasodin barley bread. So then the Shavua would not be Chal, because in order for the Shavua to work, it has to be Piv V'liba Shavin. So now, there wouldn't be a Shavua on wheat bread, because he didn't say wheat, and it wouldn't be chal on barley bread because he didn't intend to say that. And it has to be piv v'libo shavin. So the Braisa would be implying that he's potter in that case, and there's no shvur. What about, though, the Braisa is continuing, goma b'libo l'hoitzi pas chitin, what if he intended to say wheat bread v'hoitzi pas stam, and then instead he just said bread without specifying what kind? Minayin, how do we know that he's still also in wheat bread? So fine, he's not going to be also in barley bread and spelt bread and whatever, because even though he just said pas, it wasn't piv v'libo shavin. But at least as far as the wheat bread, it was piv v'libo shavin. He meant to say wheat bread. He said bread generically. And therefore, so to that extent, and bread generically includes wheat bread, and therefore he would be chayiv now on wheat bread. Tosfos also spends some time discussing the ins and outs of these dinim, but in any case, that's the sort of sheshes is saying that's what the braisa means. Talmud loymel, l'cholash yivate adam, the fact is, he did express it, and he did mean to do it. So over here, he meant to say wheat bread. He mentioned bread in general, as opposed to showing him discuss a case where, for example, a person is forced to make a shvur. For example, he has a tax collector after him, and the guy says, if you swear to me such and such, then I'll accept. I know you Jews are careful with your shvurs, and therefore I'll accept that you're potter from the taxes. And so the man says, fine, if I'm chayiv in these taxes, then fruit should be also to me. And we say it's called nidre onsin, and he has to have in mind just that he means that, for example, one particular kind of fruit is also to him. So we say he's potter only because of oinus. But in other words, the difference. So we showed him discuss. In other words, because over if he meant to say pass. He would in fact be also in any kind of pass, but here he meant to say specifically wheat bread, and by mistake he said bread in general, as opposed to there, the other way around. He's saying peiros, but he means one specific kind of peiros. Anyway, so the braisa is saying but not to say that the braisa is addressing a case where he says that where he didn't express the shvur verbally at all, then we can still have Shmuel's din that in fact that he's potter and the shvur doesn't count. Well, the Gemara says, "Maisi." Now, I have another contradiction. A braisa says when the pasuk is moitzes fasecha tishmor v'asisa, the pasuk is anything that comes out of your lips, you have to guard and you have to do. Ainly elash hoitzi b'sfasev. You would know from that only if he actually expressed it with his lips. Goma v'libe minayin. How do we know that the neder is chal even when he just decides it in his mind? Talmud lema kul nediv leiv. Therefore, the pasuk mentions by the Mishkan everybody whose heart motivated them to bring for the Mishkan. Was brought for the Mishkan, and therefore, so understanding that it means, in other words, kol nediv leiv, anybody who made a donation in his heart was now chayav to bring and then actually fulfilled it. So you see that a neder in the heart is enough. So it must have shiny hosin just if kol nediv leiv. Well, that's exactly it, because by hektish it says kol nediv leiv, therefore it's enough in the heart. But for a regular shvur, you need to have that he expresses it verbally. Well, the Gemara says v'nigma mina, nu, and then why don't we make a binyan out from that? Once we see that by kodshim, if he's able to designate it in his mind, then therefore the same thing should apply to a shvur. And the answer is no. Mishum to have a trum of a kodshim shnei ksum aboyim kachod, because you have the same kind of thing that you have as far as kodshim, as far as hekdesh, you also have as far as truma. So now it's shnei ksum aboyim kachod, two psukim that express the same that tell us the same din. And therefore, that tells us to apply it only to those and not to learn from there to anywhere else. Namely, by kodshim we have kol nediv leiv. So rather, truma refers to the truma of the malachas hamishkan, where it says that everybody who brought to the bais mikdash. Kodshim, Rashi refers to, based on a different gemara, that says that in the times of Chizkiyahu, it mentions that they were rededicating the bais mikdash after the years when they were worshipping Abba Dezara in the bais mikdash during Ochaz's time, and now they cleaned out and rededicated the bais mikdash, and the pasuk says, v'chol nediv leiv olas, anybody whose heart motivated them brought oilus. So we see that when it comes to kodshim, that a person makes a commitment in his mind, and that's enough for him to be chayiv in the korban, to be chayiv to bring it. So therefore, shnei ksum aboyim kachod. Tosfos brings a different thing by kodshim. You have this pasuk kol nediv leiv olas. By truma, rather, Tosfos says you have a different pasuk for nechshav lachem trumaschem. From which we learn that truma can be taken b'machshava only in mind. So therefore, you have shnei ksum aboyim kachod ein malamdin, and therefore you can't learn from it to anywhere else. Well, the Gemara says, that works according to the Chachamim, who say that it's Ein Melamdin, El Lamanda Oma Melamdin, but we have an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere in Shas, who says that you could learn from two psukim. He says the idea would be, in other words, like this. If the Torah meant as a binyan ab, it would say by only one of them, and we would learn from everywhere else. If it says by two, then it means it's limited only to that. If we can find a way to show them, it had to say it individually by each one, because each one has a chiddush, then we don't say shneiksim avorim kacha. And in any case, Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, just because it says twice doesn't mean it's memai to say it anywhere else. If the Torah repeated it one more time, that wasn't so necessary. He would agree that if there's three psukim, then you can't learn from it. So now, according to him, ma'ikol mema, what are you going to say? Why can't we learn from hekdish or from truma to a shvur? And the answer is, we can't learn from Hekdesh, because have a chulin v'kodshim, because then one is chulin versus kodshim, v'chulin v'kodshim legamrinin, and we have a general rule that we cannot learn things of chulin from things of kodshim. So we can't learn binyan av from kodshim to anywhere else. Therefore, the fact that it says that they were able to make a donation to the Mishkan in their mind, and that's enough, and that they were able to make a donation of oilus in their mind, and that's enough. We can't learn from that to other areas such as shavuos. So Tosfos explains, in other words, that the point would be, it's true that relative to kodshim, truma is considered chol, but nevertheless we can learn between truma and kodshim, but we can't learn from them to anywhere else in the Torah. And even if we say shniksim aboyim ka'achon malamdin, then we still can't learn from that to anywhere else in the Torah. And therefore we'll say, but by shavuos it does have to be that he expresses it verbally. When it comes to there are achronim who talk about that if a person does make a that when we say that a hektish is chal machshava, would mean, in other words, the person does have a responsibility to do that, but not necessarily that if he doesn't bring it, that he's over on his neder, not necessarily. So achronim discuss that point. But as far as a shavua, it has to be hotzi b'sfasav, and if not, then there's no chiyuv of a shavua in the first place.